12 years ago, Hurricane Katrina devastated New Orleans and portions of the Southeast. Hurricane Harvey is wreaking havoc on Houston and coastal Texas, with rainfall now measured in feet rather than inches. For more on the rescue and recovery efforts, I spoke today with Dr. Eric Stern, a professor at the University at Albany College of Emergency Preparedness, Homeland Security, and Cybersecurity, who says social media has taken on a new role in such disasters.
Social media has become extremely important in disaster response and recovery in a number of different ways. Sometimes people will let their needs for assistance be known through social media, this is tricky because many jurisdictions haven't fully implemented what you call next generation 911, and so that those calls don't always get to the official channels as quickly or as reliably as one would like. I think we're definitely moving in that direction. More informally, citizens help each other. People can use things like Facebook Safety Check to let relatives and others know that they're all right, so resources, personal and official, aren't used in trying to determine the status or rescue folks who don't need rescuing. So just by ruling out folks who don't need help, that is something that saves a lot of worry and conserves resources. So that's very important. Organizations like the Cajun Navy, I was just taking a look, are working with identifying folks who need help, providing addresses to help with sort of self-organized, citizen to citizen types of rescues, and that's increasingly important. It was noteworthy that Brock Long, the FEMA administrator, made a call not just for the official responders to respond, but for citizens to help each other. And that's interesting because in the past, often the attitude was that leave these things to the professionals. If you leave it to the professionals, things will go well. The public is seen as victims and they just get in the way. But when you're dealing with events on this scale where official resources are overwhelmed, you have to reach out to the community. And then you start thinking of citizens not as victims, but rather as survivors, which I think is the current term that usually FEMA uses, but also as responders. Often citizens are the real first responders. Your neighbors help neighbors, and they can get there and see the need and respond to it much faster than the official resources. Now, on the other hand, some of these environments in hurricanes and flooding events and many other types of disasters are really dangerous, and sometimes would-be rescuers end up needing to be rescued or get hurt, and that is a very, very significant concern. When it comes to swift water, high water rescues, firefighters go through very special training because they just don't see a lot of this stuff. And some of the standard procedures or the way you gear up for a fire in terms of very heavy, protective equipment obviously would hamper you in a water event. So the way that you equip yourself and dress and work is rather different. I saw the New York State Office of Fire Prevention and Control has guidance for, and training courses for swift water rescue. They point out that firemen are hurt or killed at much higher rates in water events than they are in regular fires, and it's because that often people aren't adequately trained. So if you can imagine that this is dangerous for official blue light responders, of course, it's also some of these environments, particularly with fast-moving water, are going to be pretty dangerous for citizen responders as well. And that is a concern.
What have been the changes since Katrina, which was now over 10 years ago? What has been learned and what has been changed in responding to a storm of this magnitude?
A lot has happened since Katrina. For one, from the federal government perspective, there has been a change in orientation to be much more proactive, much more forward-leaning, and it's become possible both legally and politically, for federal resources to be pre-positioned and for measures to be taken, often prior to official requests for assistance from states. And that means that very valuable time can be saved. Craig Fugate, the former chief administrator of FEMA, used to say that the one thing you can't get back in a disaster is time. And it's a really key resource because of the lead times. If you discover a day or two or three into a disaster that you need to get large quantities of water into an area because the water supply is compromised, and then you have to go start finding that water and getting it delivered in an environment where transportation is hampered, it will take additional valuable days for that water to get where it needs to go. On the other hand, if you can identify areas that are at risk and you can work on a precautionary principle, pre-position resources, get them to the areas where they may be needed or at least close to them ahead of time, then you can get that's the commodity water in this case, where it needs to be much faster. So I think that's the approach that we've been seeing in recent years, and the current chief administrator of FEMA seems to be continuing that approach.
Dr. Eric Stern is a professor at the University at Albany College of Emergency Preparedness, Homeland Security, and Cybersecurity.